to a mob? What's a mob to a king? What's a king to a god? Trust in God if you're a real believer. Who believes in what he preaches? Yeah. We'll make it out alive. All right, all right. Bring the church to the world.
All the bad things that happened at the Met Gala, like the...
I know.
How they were dressed. It's such a disaster. Some
it was so bad.
Have you seen Miley Cyrus?
She looked like a Disney villain.
Jesus.
I didn't even see any pictures.
She should, this is what I think. I think she should now be like the villain of not a Miley Cyrus, what is it called? A Hannah Montana movie.
I don't think she tries to be better. Miley Cyrus, she doesn't try to be a great actress, so you can't really blame her for doing what she does.
She's just like, wow, I'm famous and I can do this.
Yeah, she does Nicholas Sparks films and teenage movies. That's what she does.
Yeah.
Welcome to all the visitors from across the universe. You are listening to the Across the Universe, the Chicks with Accents podcast. Marhaba, I am Nick, currently in the UAE, and my blog is Being Norma Jean.
Hola a todos, I'm Sofia. I blog at Filmflare, and I'm from Portugal.
This is Matt from Lime Reviews and Strawberry Confessions, and I'm from Germany/Denmark.
Yeah. So, how are you guys?
I'm fine.
How's school, etc.?
I'm a little worried, actually. I have like 2 months ahead of exams, and it's going to be pretty hard work.
I brought like 18 kilos of books in my luggage, and I haven't started, and I've made like my study plan, and I'm already a week behind. I can't bother. It's my vacations. I don't care if I have an exam in 2 months. Can't. Yeah. Met.
I'm bored because Danish schools are so not, I don't know. You don't have to do much. It's very underwhelming.
But, well, high school can be underwhelming wherever you are, really.
Yeah.
Same. I go to an all-girls Christian school. It can't get any more underwhelming than
that. Yeah. And it's weird because after the summer holidays, we're going to be the oldest people in school. So,
yeah. We're going to be cool kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. I like being the senior.
Okay.
Almost. So first, we would like to share the feedback that we have received on after our first episode. This could be the start of something big. First off, Ryan McNeil from the Matney sent us a massive feedback email. He gave a lot of advice and constructive criticism, but we are only going to read only a small part of it, which... admittedly is the more gushy part because we are egotistical like that. Okay, so Ryan says, thank you for making my work day a little brighter with this podcast. I got a good smile more than once listening to the three of you talk and cannot wait for more. My favorite thing about the three of you coming together for this podcast is that you all have great taste. I was floored by the titles you were talking about in your first episode. And love that there was a show out there that wanted to talk about Notorious and Fitzcarraldo for 10 minutes. Don't get me wrong, I'm as anxious to listen to people discuss Iron Man 3 as the next guy. But adding the Mae West film to my to-see list made your show a much more worthwhile listen. I would like to say that I had the idea of a podcast, but it was a passing thought last year. But when I went on Ryan's podcast earlier this year, the Matney cast, and we talked about Oz the Great and Powerful, he was the one who suggested that I should start a podcast with other international females. So he sort of... You know, it was his idea, so if we suck, you can blame him. obviously I'm kidding. He's awesome, and I really like to thank him for the feedback. And Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys can say anything. I shared the entire mail with Matt and Sophia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I was really happy when I heard it. And it had some great advice. So,
yeah. So really, we will try and incorporate all of that as we go along.
Yeah.
Okay, on Facebook, we got a comment from the Vern's Video Vanguard. And he said, great first episode, and you gals do have me interested to hear more. I agree with your thoughts about the new Carrie remake. It's going to play things way too safe. Chloe Grace Moretz is a fine actress, but she looks too pretty to be Carrie White. We need someone a bit more awkward looking. True. Chloe Grace Moretz is too normal looking, and she's too pretty to play Carrie White. I think one of the things that made the original movie great was that the original Carrie looked really awkward and kind of creepy, yeah. Really. She was part of the whole creepy thing, right?
The massive eyes.
Yes, and
basic,
so pale.
Huge eyes. Yeah.
So pale and thin. And yeah. The long blonde hair just creeped me out.
I haven't seen it, but she was in Terrence Malick's first movie, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Badlands.
Yeah.
She was really good. I had read somewhere that, you know, it was like a joke tweet, you know, they're like, does everyone hate Carrie in the new Carrie because she's prettier than them? So, yeah, it's sort of like that.
We'd also like to thank some people who commented on our blogs and also on Facebook and on Twitter, who are Cherokee, Stevie, Andina, Josh, Alex, Sankalmantajedi. And Three Guys in One Movie, for all the support. And we want to especially thank Lindsay from French Toast Sunday for plugging the podcast on the Lamb podcast and her own podcast, the French Toast Sunday podcast.
Well, I wanted to mention Paula from the Cultural Enthusiast. She commented on my blog saying that she really liked our podcast and she wanted to know more about Nick's favorite movie. Now, I've contacted her, Paula. Paula, if you're listening, check your email inbox, because I've sent you an email saying which of Nick's movies did you like and want to hear more about? Because she has two, which is Moulin Rouge and Fight Club. So maybe we can address that on a next episode or something. We'll figure it out. Just contact us and we'll get on it.
I would like to say that one of my friends, Alia, she listened to it and she gave feedback. She really liked it. And she told me to calm down, which I will try.
No.
I should like calm down in the podcast and in life. I think that's the advice I should take for life. Yeah. So that's about it.
Yeah.
I like that you're excited.
I like it too. I want to be more excited myself.
Exactly. It brings life to the whole thing.
I know. I'm actually like very, very lazy. But mm-hmm. I think when I have to do something, I'm so out of my element that I start panicking. It comes out as excitement, but it's not. It's panic most of the time.
And my sister also listened to the podcast and she just wanted to say that. She loves it, too.
Yay! Yeah.
I'm going to be the
What's sister's name?
Lisa? I think we would just say Lisa or something.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa. So next we'll talk about the interesting movie of the fortnight, in which each of us will talk about a film we basically just want to talk about. It can be a film we loved or one we hated or neither. But is one we would like to discuss for whatever reason. The film I would like to discuss is the new release that I think everyone has heard about. It's Star Trek Into Darkness, which is a sequel to the 2009 reboot Star Trek by J.J. Abrams. Have you guys seen it? Like, either of them?
No, I have seen nothing from Star Trek.
You have to watch it.
Yeah.
I've seen the previous films, yeah.
Did you see the new one?
No, not yet.
Okay, yeah, so I'm going to, like, be as vague as possible.
Okay.
Because I tried, I've avoided spoilers for this movie. But I would like to say from the get-go that what has happened is that I absolutely loved the first one, okay? And it's in my top 100. It's one of the most entertaining and fun movies I've ever seen. So I was looking forward to the sequel a lot. And it's actually like my third most anticipated film of 2013. But what happened was that it became like one of those things, like the experience while watching the movie that has sort of marred my view of the new movie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Basically, I went to watch it with my best friend who I haven't seen for more than a year. And she likes to talk a lot during movies. So she was talking quite a bit. And then, you know, she was laughing at like random moments, which it's not just her fault. Like, one thing is that I've become accustomed to like watching movies with a lot of focus. But it's not just her fault. The thing was like, because I haven't seen her for so long and we live in different continents now, that even I was talking to her quite a bit because, you know, we haven't seen each other in so long.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I was very, very distracted throughout. Which what happened was like in the end, I didn't, even though I remember elements from the movie that I really loved, and there were parts in the movie when I was literally fist pumping in the air because it was so awesome. But as a whole, the film is not coming together in my head. And that's really irking me. I think it's my fault more than the film's fault that it's happening. Plot-wise, basically, it follows the first movie. Captain Kirk, played by Chris Pine, he is still the captain of USS Enterprise. And he has all these people in his boat. There's Spock, played by Zachary Quinto. Uhura, played by Zoe Saldana. Scotty, played by Simon Pegg. Bones, played by Carl Urban. Anton Yelchin plays Chekhov. And John Cho plays Sulu. And Kirk is like a very, very arrogant, cocky sort of person, and he's careless and he gets into trouble. But at the time there's a terrorist called John Harrison, who's played by Benedict Cumberbatch, who was one of the biggest reasons why I was looking forward to this movie so much.
Mm-hmm.
And so he attacks their headquarters, and then Kirk goes to follow him, but he finds out that there are a lot of like secrets that are being held from him. And yeah, that's about, I mean, I'm a bit big, as I said. So, it was a good movie, okay? As I said, I had fun, but it just, I didn't have as much fun as I wanted to have. But I think it's my fault. And the effects were really good. The look was good. Benedict Cumberbatch was fantastic. He was a great villain, I thought. And even though, like, my friend, she hates Cumberbatch for some reason, okay? It makes no sense. She doesn't even like his voice, okay?
Oh.
How is that possible?
Exactly. It's like, you're a woman. It's supposed to do things to you. You can't not like his voice, okay?
Exactly.
But even she liked him as a villain. And, you know, there was even, like, there's a moment when she turned to me and she's like, oh, my God, he looked really good in that 1 second. But I still hate him. And I was like, whatever, I have won. But he was really, really good. And that was like those things I remember, like as those were the things I really enjoyed in the movie. But at the same time, because I was so distracted, I couldn't help but, I don't know, focus on the more negative things for some reason.
Exactly.
So it was things like I felt that this film was introducing all the characters again. Which there's no point of that, because I thought the first film does a really good job of introducing all the characters. And I didn't like the ending of this movie. And then there was this one really random scene where in this film, Alice Eve is also joining the cast again. She's a really, really gorgeous woman. But there's a really random scene when she takes her clothes off and it had no meaning. I was like, why? Why did that just happen? I don't get it. Okay. But yeah, I mean, you know, there were like things like that, which shouldn't matter, but these scenes for some reason are really, really glued in my brain. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to rewatch it and have fun this time.
Yes.
Yes.
But I would like to say that everyone should watch it still. Yes.
So you liked it in the
end? I did like it, but I want to love it.
Oh.
It feels wrong that I don't love it.
Yeah, because I really like the first one too.
I love the first one. I can watch it like endlessly. It's one of those most entertaining movies I've ever seen.
It is.
Yeah. And I think what's happened is the same thing happened when Deathly Hallows Part 2 came out. That I was so excited for it. The first time I went to watch it, I was just disappointed.
Mm.
But then I watched it like 2 more times in the theater and I loved it more and more. So I think that's what's going to happen for this too. That's what I'm hoping would happen. Sophia next. Yeah.
Well, I have 2 movies that I would be perfectly comfortable talking about. So I want you guys to pick, actually. I can talk about I Give It a Year, the latest British comedy,
mm-hmm.
or Les Misérables, which I just seen yesterday. So, have you seen?
Les Mis.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. So, I'm going to start with a little rant, if I can.
Okay.
Because here's the thing. I didn't see this movie in the cinemas because everyone was saying that it was not that good. And the biggest complaint that people, and even critics, actual critics had, was that it was too sung. There were too many songs in it. And I thought, well, it's a musical, so it's supposed to have songs. And then I watched the movie.
Yeah.
And it's like an opera, really.
Yeah.
It's a musical, but it's like an opera. So there's really no point in saying that there are too many songs. It's just the genre. I think, honestly, I was mad at people who said that. I don't know if you say it too.
No.
But there's just no point. It's the stupidest thing. It's saying that Les Mis has too many songs is as stupid as saying that a comedy has too many jokes. I mean, I'm sorry. It's just stupid. Yeah. I wanted to get that out of the way. Because if you don't like a genre, you can't just blame it's on your not liking it. It's just, it doesn't make any sense. So,
yeah.
I watched it, and once I could adjust to the genre, the fact that it's always sung, I really liked it. I really, mm-hmm. really liked it. There was just a couple of things, actually a couple of people that maybe not like it. I don't know if you agree, but I think it's kind of universally acknowledged that Russell Crowe cannot sing.
I don't know. I don't think he was that bad, but I don't know.
Well, maybe in comparison to the others, he's bad.
Yeah, okay.
Bad. You have Hugh Jackman and then you have Russell Crowe. It's kind of hard to focus.
I have Russell Crowe. I call Russell Crowe my anti-Depp because it's like I love Johnny Depp no matter what he does. And I hate Russell Crowe no matter what he does. I can't help it. I hate Russell Crowe. He makes me sick for some reason. And in this movie, it was so painful. Every time he sang, it's like my ears are going to die.
I couldn't pay attention to the scene when he was singing. I was just like, shut up, shut up. But, well, anyway. But he didn't have a lot of scenes,
no.
considering the whole thing, so I'm still able to enjoy the film. And the other girl, Eponine,
mm-hmm.
she was the girl who liked Marius.
Yeah.
I don't see the point of her. I don't know if it's the actress or if the character is not well depicted, but I think she came out of nowhere, and I mean, I know she was the daughter. But then when she grew up, I didn't feel the need to have that part in the story.
I was thinking that maybe she would make more sense if you read the novel, but which I haven't, so it's hard to say.
I mean, she had like a really good death, which was... Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I liked the actress quite a bit, and I liked her singing. I couldn't even Amanda Seyfried was a little painful, But I thought Samantha Bach, the actress, was very, very good. Like, singing-wise, song-wise, she was very good. So I like that, her as a single. And I thought she was very pretty.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe I was just wishing he would go to Cosette, and I thought she was in the way. She's like, shut up, he doesn't like you. Go away.
I don't know why, I just hated Cosette.
Oh, really?
she's like, you know, those... She's kind of reminded me of Sleeping Beauty, you know, because she's perfect and she's nice, so she should get everything. She hate. Oh, so that was like, I don't know, I didn't really care about Cosette so much. Or Marius, for that matter. Marius was still slightly, I mean, he was still okay, but I didn't really care about Cosette so much. I loved Joel Ross.
Yeah. I was a bit annoyed by the way they fell in love, because it was just one look.
It was sudden, yeah, I know. But, well, whatever. I do think that what worked really well is the epic songs. It was just so, so epic. I could feel like a revolution. I cried.
Did you cry and I dreamed a dream? I've cried in it so many times now.
I cried, but I didn't want to cry. Because I have an issue with Anne Hathaway in that movie. I liked her work. I think she did a good job. But I can't help but think that it was not humble. It was not a humble performance. You know what I mean?
No, definitely. Because she just knew she was gonna win everything.
Exactly. When I was watching her misery, because this is the main theme of Les Misérables, everyone is so miserable and everyone has such hopes of feeling better. That was like excellent. But she was so miserable, but it's like she was proud. I know this doesn't make any sense, maybe, but it's like she was proud of being miserable. Her performance felt not honest in a way. Like when you talked about Marius, you didn't care about him. But when he was crying in the end, I felt really sorry for him. And it looked like a really honest cry. But when Anne Hathaway cries, I don't feel that. I don't feel like she's being that honest. Maybe it's because I saw the Oscar speech before. Which really annoyed me. But... I don't know, I couldn't feel them. I cried. Yes, I did.
Yeah,
something was wrong.
I will disagree. I recently did a presentation in my school on fallen women.
Mm-hmm.
And like 19th century fallen women. And then I ended it with like the song. I was so happy when people were crying in class. I was like, yes.
It's a good song. People cry.
It was like one of my favorite scenes of the year. I thought, I don't know, I mean, I don't know, for me it looked like her performance there was perfect in that song, because it's like the dying of hope and she goes through so many emotions in that one song that it's so raw and stuff that it just killed me.
Well, she has a great voice. I was not expecting that.
Oh, she sang at the... Amazing. Yeah. She sang at the Oscars one time, and I thought that it was kind of good. So
I like that. I like with you, Jack.
That was that was the best. Why don't they bring him back? I don't understand. he was the best. He was so good. He was so good, and he was so good looking.
Oh, and Aaron Zweig was also. I liked him.
Did you see him in the Oscars?
Yes.
Oh my God! I was like. I saw that on Tumblr, they made a gif of that, and I saw him just walking on that stage, like, continuously. It was just amazing.
Stage in that moment.
I know. I was expecting Russell Crowe to come out, I swear. And then he walks out, and I'm like, what is this?
It's just magic. He's just so out of his element. He should be with a sword in his hand or something. I don't know. I can't picture him in a musical.
Yeah.
Well, now I can and I hated it. So. Oh, and I also loved the Helena Bonham Carter and Sacha Baron Cohen music parts. Like, they were really funny.
And
yeah.
It kind of took the edge off all the drama, which is good.
And did you like the look of the film? I know a lot of people have problems with it, but I thought it was fine. I liked it.
Yeah. What's not to like? I mean, it's
gorgeous.
No, a lot of this, you know, there's that Tom Hooper filming techniques which everyone makes fun of. I don't know. I thought it was fine. I really liked it.
I think it suited the movie very well.
Yeah.
It's exaggerated, but, you know, it's opera, so.
Yeah.
I think it suited the film perfectly.
I think a lot of people expected something else, like something not as spectacular, but
yeah. Not so many songs.
Yeah.
My excuse was that I'm Bollywood and I'm used to these songs.
Yes.
So. Me too.
But still, even I understand too many songs, though. I didn't feel Les Miserables had so many, but have you watched The Umbrellas of Cherbourg? I'm not sure how I'm pronouncing it. That doesn't have any dialogue. It has only songs. Like, the entire film is sung. And that was just painful for me. I can't read some dialogue in between.
Les Mis is very close to that. A lot of the dialogue
is very close, but I need like someone some to speak normally. Yeah, I can't have people singing the entire time. Okay, Beth.
I didn't really know which one to choose either because I haven't watched too many movies, and I didn't want to be the person who talks about Indian movies all the time. But I'm still gonna do that, so I'm gonna talk about Vicky Donner, which I don't know if you know it, but it's
I know it. I haven't watched it. I really want to.
Yeah, it's like one of the most acclaimed Indian movies of last year. And yeah, I was very excited to see it because like it even has a 7.8 rating on IMDb and the magazine I write for, Bollywood Magazine, also had a really good review of it and said that it was like everybody said it was going to be different from normal Indian movies. So I was really excited, and I don't know, I was very disappointed, because, it's about a guy who, like, he's the typical Bollywood guy. He doesn't have a job, and he lives with his parents, he doesn't know what to do with his life and stuff, so that, I didn't like that, then the story is
character.
Yeah, it's especially for a comedy. But yeah,
true.
Yeah, but then he kind of meets a guy who asks him to donate sperm because he has a sperm bank and there's no good sperm out there. So and I don't know why he asks him, but I don't know, he just thinks that, oh, he looks like he has some good sperm.
The actor is good looking, I guess.
Yeah, okay. Cute. Yeah. And he plays cricket, so that's really good. Yeah. And he's Punjabi. So
yeah.
So he doesn't want to do it, of course, to begin with, but then he hears how much money he can make. So he just tries it. And of course, he's the super sperm donor. All of the clients from the clinic get really cool, really good children, healthy children from him. And at the beginning, there's this conflict. He even asks himself, like, I'm going to be a father to so many children, and is this okay? But they sort of just... it's just in the background. And then, of course, he falls in love with a girl. That was pretty cute, too, because they just date a lot, and then she asks him to marry her. So that was also a nice touch. But then there's just, I don't know, it just becomes really, really typical. Because, of course, his girlfriend or wife can't get any children and blah, blah, blah. And there's this big drama, and then there's a happy ending. So I was very disappointed by how many cliches there were in this movie. It had a really good idea, but then it decided to play it all safe and all Bollywood, so...
That's what I know. People have been raving about it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm generally very cautious when they rave about Bollywood movies. Because it turns out to be crap most of the time. And, yeah, I guess. I do want to watch it though once.
Yeah. But, I'm watching some... important 2012 in Bollywood movies, and there were two great movies I had seen, and then just this one comes along and it's just so disappointing. So.
You saw English, Vinglish and Kahani.
Kahani, yes.
Yeah,
and they had some strong female leads and some cool ideas.
Yeah, Kahani is the closest thing to showing like Calcutta properly that I've seen in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Because they usually show Calcutta in such weird ways, but I really liked how they showed it in Kahani. Okay, so for our main discussion, we will be talking about a new release that we have all been anticipating.
Hot summer nights, mid-July, when you and I were forever wild. The crazy days, city lights, the way you'd play with me like a child.
The Great Gatsby was directed by Baz Luhrmann. It stars Leonardo DiCaprio, Tobey Maguire, Carey Mulligan, Joel Edgerton, Elizabeth Debicki, Ira Fisher, Jason Clarke, and Amitabh Bachchan. It is based on F. Scott Fitzgerald's world-famous novel, which is about a man called Jay Gatsby, his love for a woman named Daisy Buchanan, his rise and fall, and all of this is narrated by his neighbor Nick Carraway. So what did you think about it? Met.
I'm just going to say that I liked it.
Okay. And Sophia?
Well, from me, you'll get a solid meh.
Oh, no. Okay, I really liked it.
I'm sorry. I'll explain later.
But it's good. We have like a meh, a like, and a really like.
It's good. Yeah.
So it's good. Okay, so we'll start with script.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, so what have you got? Matt hasn't read the book.
No, so, but yeah, I've seen the 1974
version. Yeah, and Sophia has read the book. I've read the book.
Yeah.
Do you like the book?
I do. I like the book a lot. And I've tried to reread it before I saw the film, but I couldn't. So I read half of it after I saw it, just to remind myself of the scenes.
It's one of my favorite books. When I had originally read it like many years ago, and then I had reread it last year because this was supposed to release last year.
Was it?
I really loved the book. It was, yeah. Then it was postponed to this year for some reason.
I don't know.
So I thought script-wise, it's probably one of the most literal adaptations I've ever seen. It's very it's like copied from the book.
It is even, and dialogue, it's straight from the book.
The dialogue, the stuff they couldn't mention, like they couldn't show it pictorially, they actually wrote it down, like the ending and stuff like that. I think it's captured everything, which, as a fan of the book, I don't know, I liked it because there was some like really beautifully written stuff which is in the movie, and it was something I enjoyed watching. And every time, like there's a part when Daisy is introduced,
mm-hmm.
when the curtains fly and stuff, and that's exactly how it's written in the book.
It is. But he was in an asylum in the book.
No, he wasn't. I was reading up on this.
Yeah.
And basically what Baz Luhrmann has done is that he's tried to base some things on F. Scott Fitzgerald and Zelda Fitzgerald's life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's tried to incorporate that in the movie because Zelda Fitzgerald was, I think, an alcoholic. So she used to spend a lot of time in a sanitarium. So like F. Scott Fitzgerald was probably very accustomed to such places. Okay. So he tried to bring that in, that someone, he's not so an asylum exactly, right? He's like a depressed person who's been drinking a lot.
Sanitarium or something. I think that was...
So they tried to like I think it's like a rehab center, I suppose. Like they tried to incorporate that because how else would they show like Nick writing about it, I guess?
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. It works in terms of making him the narrator. It makes sense.
Yeah.
I didn't have an issue with that. I agree. I think it was very faithful to the book. There was actually many quotations that were directly taken from the book, even whole pieces of dialogue, word by word. I do think that it struggled with tone sometimes, but I think that's because of other elements that I didn't enjoy. We'll talk about that later. But I do think that the tone of it sometimes didn't seem right. And also, just one thing, the symbolic elements that appear in the book somehow subtly, I don't know how you say it.
Subtly,
like in your face in the movie. Like the men with the glasses, that advertising, the green light.
Yeah.
It's like every 5 minutes they're talking about it. It's like I get it that green light is hope and his dream of Daisy. You don't need to keep telling me that. That's one thing that annoyed me.
Did since Matt hasn't read the book, did things like the green light, did they make more sense because they were being shown so much?
Well, the green light, I don't think it was like in the 70s movie, it was there a lot, so I didn't know much about it, and it was melodramatic, but it didn't really bother me. But the ice thing, the man with the glasses was it was overused. I mean, we all know it because it's on the book cover. I mean, I have the book here with me, although I haven't read it. But yeah, it was probably shown too often. But generally, I think that the movie, like the script, was very well balanced because there was a lot of drama, but also some really subtly. Funny scenes and a nice humor in some scenes.
Yeah, wasn't it funny at times? Like really funny.
Yeah.
I guess that was the Baz Luhrmann element of it.
because
I don't remember the book. The book is very short, so I don't actually remember if there was anything funny in it. But
yeah,
I mean, you know, things like when Gatsby drops the clock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
the whole
was
scene.
Typically.
It's really funny.
And, you know, the weird close-ups to their faces when they're confused and things.
Mm.
Like, especially Nick. That's very, very, it reminded me a lot of, like, other Baz Luhrmann movies.
Well, now that you're mentioning the close-ups to the faces, I'm going to say it. Can I say the end? Is it a spoiler? I mean, everyone knows the book.
Everybody knows the book.
Can I just say that? Can I say it?
Yeah.
Yeah, say it. Say it.
He dies. Yeah. And when he dies, that close-up to his face, didn't you want to laugh? I mean, DiCaprio looked really stupid. Come on. That close-up, it's too long.
It was a bit too long. I like the fact that, I don't remember if in the book they show that he looks at the light the moment he dies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I in a way, I liked that he looked at the light when he died. Because it's a nice thing, you know, if you die with that sort of hope in you.
No, that is good. But the fact that his
face it lingered a little too long, maybe.
And it made it funny. I'm
sorry. I don't know. I was so sad.
I know it was really sad. Exactly. And Leo was so good.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about performances. So.
He was great. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think we should just go on to performances. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Leo was my favorite.
Yeah, nice. By far.
Yeah.
By far, right? He
just needs that Oscar.
He really does.
He's not going to get it for this, though. No chance.
No.
It's not typically an Oscar-worthy performance.
No.
You know. But he was so... And I miss Leo looking like, you know, his handsome self.
Mm.
Yeah. He was different here, didn't you think?
Yeah, he was... He looked so... Generally, if I see people wearing pink suits, I will laugh at them. But Leo makes it look romantic.
He pulls it off.
I know. Yeah.
He looks so groomed.
Yeah.
Sleek hair.
He looks very... Like, there were some scenes that reminded me of Titanic. Like, I could just see Jack in him.
Yes,
and I was just, I missed this so much.
I watched it with my mother, and then, you know, when he dies, she's like, he really likes dying in water, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, he just really likes dying. He dies in most of his movies.
Most of them.
He either dies or he goes mad. Or his wife dies.
Do you know?
Yeah.
One thing that I really loved was that scene where he throws his shirts at Daisy.
Mm.
And he's just so... Yeah, he's just so joyful. It reminded me of him younger. Like in Titanic, for example. He was just so laughing and things, because when I think about Leonardo DiCaprio, what comes to mind is his laughter when he was younger. He was always just such a joyful character in every film. And in that moment, I was like a flashback. It was great. I loved it.
That scene, again, it was from the book. And I remember that part in the book so well, and I liked how they did it in the movie.
I liked it too. Yeah.
Yeah. Other actors. Carey Mulligan as Daisy. She makes her more sympathetic.
Uh-huh.
But I still hate Daisy. I thought she was good. She wasn't the best. If I had to rank the actors, it would be Leo. Joel Edgerton, who plays Storm, then Tobey Maguire,
mm-hmm.
and then I guess the rest. I don't really... Mm-hmm. Everyone else is equal after that. So,
I like Isla Fisher.
I liked her look, but
she had a very, very small role.
I don't know, I felt that she became too caricature-ish by the end. Yeah, I really, because her pictures, when the posters were coming out, I was really, really into her thing, like her look and stuff. But I don't know, in the movie, I was a little bit, I won't say disappointed, but I thought she was more comical. Yeah, which is adorable in movies.
I love her. I
know, she's so cute.
And Tobey Maguire, I liked him.
Nick is my favorite character, like in the books, and I guess in the movie. And Tobey Maguire has the capability of playing someone like Nick, you know, someone who is, I guess that's why he's like such a good Spider-Man, okay? Because I think he's such a normal guy.
True.
And I think Nick is such a normal guy that he really brings it out well. And since he and like Tobey Maguire and Leonardo DiCaprio, they're like best friends since they were children or something. So I really like their relationship to each other. Yeah. Like, the first moment, the second he sees Gatsby... Okay, you were talking about funny, right? I thought that was
hilarious. It was very funny.
It was cute.
His face. He can make these really funny faces. Tobey Maguire. I don't know if he means to do them sometimes, but it's so funny. I have to say that Carey Mulligan...
Yeah.
I think it was one of the first scenes she had with Tobey Maguire alone. She was talking about a daughter or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Didn't you feel that it felt so a little fake.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's... I think that's on purpose.
I think she's supposed to seem fake.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm not that keen on her casting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Some people had suggested, like, the best one I'd heard was someone like Kirsten Dunst, who I think would have been perfect as Daisy. She has the, you know, the sort of sleepy, dreamy style to her,
mm-hmm.
which I think what Daisy has. So, I'll give points for Carey Mulligan for trying, but that's like the one casting I'm still not sure of. Yeah.
I think she didn't seem as excited. Like, of course she wasn't supposed to be, but Gatsby just seemed a lot more excited and into her, and she was always, I don't know, she seemed really bored.
That's Daisy, but
yeah, okay. That is Daisy. Daisy is a bitch.
Yeah, I really didn't like her. But
I know, she's the one.
Now that you mention it, I think that Kirsten Dunst would actually make her more interesting, I think.
Yeah.
And she's just such a great actress, Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah.
She does have the look for Daisy. I think she could have been great.
And yeah. And Mia Farrow from the 70s movie, she made Daisy a little more, she seemed really lovable. Like, everybody would love her.
Exactly.
And Carey Mulligan, I don't know. She didn't really do that.
From the 70s movie, I remember, like, how much I liked Mia Farrow in that role.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very dull movie, I thought, the 70s.
It was, yes.
But, I thought she was really good. Even Robert Redford, who played Gatsby, wasn't that
interesting. I loved him.
I haven't seen it in a while, but I remember loving Daisy. That's all I remember.
Yeah.
In that one.
But I liked that. Well, Robert Redford, he was a real gentleman and, like, very, you have to, like him. And Leonardo DiCaprio brought some dark sides to the character. Like, when he hits...
It's more fair.
Yeah.
I think. It's more fair. I mean, Gatsby isn't a perfect person. That's the whole story, you know? It's like how perfect... It's sort of like an illusion that he makes for himself and for everyone else and how it can't be caught up to.
Mm.
And then I liked how Leonardo DiCaprio was able to, like, find those places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
And even in the story itself, the way they made it clear that he had something dark in him.
Mm.
Yeah.
You kind of, for the second half of the film, you were wondering, is he a villain or something? Because, I mean, we know the story, but he had those business and all those things, and you were thinking, they're deconstructing the hero. He's not a perfect man as we thought he was. That was very well done.
I was going to talk about Joel Edgerton.
Yeah.
Who plays Storm, who I thought was very, very good. I thought he was really good.
He was.
Perfectly detestable.
Yes, perfect. I mean, he was. He just had those looks in, I mean, you know, you want to punch Storm. You always want to punch Storm. And he had that thing about him.
Mm.
I imagined him, I know that I always imagined him more soft looking, but that's on me. But he was perfect. The actor, he really looked brute, you know.
Yeah.
It's like you want to punch him, yes, but you're afraid to punch him.
Yeah.
He's going to punch you back and it's going to hurt.
But he was rememberable. Oh, I don't know how to say it. But you would remember him and... Like, I don't remember the Tom from the version, the other version.
Exactly. And who else? Elizabeth Debicki, she's very, very stunning. She plays Jordan Baker.
Mm-hmm.
But they cut out, like, her romance from Nick, from the movie, which I was a bit sad about, because Jordan, I really like Jordan in the books. And her role was lessened, which I was a bit sad about.
It almost felt unnecessary, I think.
Yeah, in the movie. But she's so pretty.
It is.
Yeah.
And I like the actress. I don't know her that well, but I got the sense that if they had gave her more scenes, it would be good.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely. Jason Clarke, he played Wilson. He had like a small role. He was fine, I guess. Amitabh Bachchan, this was Amitabh Bachchan's Hollywood debut. He got a poster. He was in the movie for like 2 minutes.
But I liked him.
I liked him. He had like a really good accent on. I was impressed.
And he was cute.
I know.
I think. He was like, well, of course he was an old man just flirting with young girls, but he made it cute.
And he, they had like the funny moments when he was talking about something else and then Gatsby sort of panics.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not
And
I love Leo panicking.
That whole scene with the tea and it's just hilarious.
Yeah.
So funny. His face freezes.
He's like a little child sometimes.
Yes, true. So the acting generally was good and Leo shines the most. And next is the look of the movie, which is amazing. It was bound to be beautiful. Okay, no, Sophia, you go.
Yeah.
Okay. You're gonna hate me for this, but I'm gonna say it because it's my honest opinion, really.
Okay.
I know that I knew what I was getting into. I've seen Moulin Rouge and Romeo plus Juliet, so I know that Baz can be eccentric.
Mm-hmm.
The way he looks now, and the way his movies look, but. I hated it so much. I'm sorry. I thought it was so corny and cheap, the way it looked. I mean, you gotta recognize. I mean, when he's dreaming of Daisy and there's like the clouds and a mansion on the clouds. I mean, ugh. And the quotations, like the letters flying. Seriously? You like that?
I liked it because I love those lines, you know, and they were there in the movie.
Couldn't I guess say them? Did he have to write them or two?
Maybe, I don't know. I mean, no, I guess because he has like those scenes. I mean, things like from Moulin Rouge, you know, when they keep typing, Ewan McGregor keeps typing away.
Didn't get that. Yeah.
So it is because he's made that his style.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Well, then it's a matter of taste. You either like it or don't.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't. It's the only reason why I didn't like the movie as much. It's because it looked really bad for me. And the CGI was terrible. I mean, the man with the glasses and then he goes over the advertisement into Daisy's mansion or something. It was weird. It was bad. Okay, for me it was bad. I'm sorry. Okay. Say good things about it.
No, I mean, that's one thing, but what about things like the set design and then the parties and things?
That was perfect. That was great.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about the visuals, and the parties were perfect. I love the party. I wanted to get up.
I know.
And dance.
I swear, I was like, come someone transport me into these parties.
Yes.
Matt.
I like the look a lot, but again, it's like you said, Nick, when you've seen a lot of Bollywood blockbusters, it's sort of, I don't know whether it's that Stockholm effect where you just get to like it. But I just like it. I like big things, big, shiny, and
yeah,
you know.
Exactly. I know.
I like Basil.
I'm shallow. Lerman. I like it. I swear.
Yeah.
I like when things. I like it. Even like, you know, weird things. You know, did you notice when they're in the Buchanan's house, you know, and all the servants, like, they're synchronized in their movement.
Mm.
I think there was this one scene when like I think all of them just like step out of the door and they go to this one side and it's really synchronized. And I somehow really liked it. I was like, this reminds me of things like Moulin Rouge. I like it when I don't know they have like maybe because this film it wasn't trying to be realistic. So
no.
When you do put in those fake elements in a fake movie, and do it well, I like it.
Yeah. I mean,
if that makes any sense.
It reminded me of that theory that I don't know who did, some theater writer just had this theory that movies and plays, they have to show you that things are fake. And I don't agree with that, but in this movie, I think it was right.
Well, yeah, and I don't know if he was trying to really accentuate that materialistic version of
America. I think he was.
Yeah.
I think he was.
And I think that's okay. I think the fact that, but that's more in the costumes, but all the things, like, we can join them, right?
I think the excess makes sense in the context of the story.
But that's not my problem. It's I think the excess.
You don't like the visuals. Just, you don't. Again,
it's the visuals.
I understand. No, I mean, some parts, again, I understand why you're saying it. I understand why people won't like it, but I like it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Then what else? Yeah, we stopped. The parties were perfect.
Dang, yeah.
And yeah, they were the best.
Yeah.
It was so nice. I really wanted to be in this party. My mother was like, she's like, what is going on? And she was so amazed by the parties. And I was like, yeah.
And if it's supposed to be a cautionary tale about materialism, okay.
I know.
Like, I want that.
I know. Gone. And although, you know, then obviously it's like when the funeral happens, then you feel so bad.
Yeah.
Because then the whole, I mean, there were so many great parties over there. No one would come to his house. And okay, in the funeral, you guys, both of you have seen Romeo and Juliet, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so then, again, that was so copied from Romeo and Juliet, I felt, the funeral scene.
I can't remember.
I don't remember it.
I guess because it's such a striking image, and I think I've made like banners out of that last thing of when Romeo and Juliet, they die, and there are like flowers and crosses everywhere. So that really reminded me of Romeo and Juliet. I would if you're talking about visuals, I would say, like, I have a problem, you know. I would wish that Baz Luhrmann would try new techniques and try to look a little different from his older movies.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think in the end, like, there are a lot of similarities, you know, and you're like, maybe you should do something new.
Yeah, but then again, like, in Australia was a little bit different. And I
don't remember Australia. Okay. Like, I think I've burnt it out of my memory.
I didn't like it much either. So
yeah. Okay, and Matt's the only one who's watched it in 3D.
Yeah.
How was it?
It was, first of all, I saw it in Denmark, so I could see it in English. but they had like some very small 3D glasses, and I wanted to wear my contact lenses, but my eyes were all itchy, so I wore my glasses. So that was not very a good idea. So there were like those lines in the picture.
Oh, no.
But I don't know, the 3D was just very like typical, like it is in most movies. You just think, okay, this is fine, but
why
not do it in 2D?
That's what I thought.
Except
I really, okay, yeah, see, continue, sorry.
Except one scene at the end where he's in the swimming pool and you know, like, he's just died, reminded me of Life of Pi, because you could see through the water, and so I liked that one, that scene, but otherwise it didn't feel necessary.
I really wanted to watch it in 3D, but I accidentally went for 2D, which is really stupid. I mean, I bought the ticket, and my mother's like, why did you buy the tickets? You could have gone in another time. And I'm like, my brain doesn't work when it needs to work. More than, like, I just wanted to see why it's in 3D, you know? I have, like, a thing about filmmakers' vision, you know? If a filmmaker wants his films to be watched in 3D, there must be some point to it. So I just wanted to see what was the point, you know? Yeah. That's like my thing. That's why, maybe I will probably rewatch it in 3D, because while I was watching the movie, I could imagine, you know, the things, which I don't know if they will be brought out in 3D, but I could see, like, I guess the green light would have, like, really reached out to you as well, as it was reaching out to Gatsby and things like that. So I wanted to see. I had a sort of bad cinema thing, because in, like, the first one-third of the movie, the sound was really off. In moments, like, the narration, the background sound would become really loud, but, like, Tobey Maguire's narration was completely muffled. And then they stopped, and then they rewinded. And that was so annoying. I was just like, what is happening? But in spite of all that, I really liked it. And I didn't mind it in 2D, but I do want to watch it in 3D still.
Yeah. Well, I that's the reason I saw it too, because, like, with Hugo, you ask yourself, why do these big filmmakers start making 3D?
Well, Hugo, I thought it was great in 3D.
It made sense in that one, yeah.
It made a lot of sense, but other films that I've seen didn't really make any sense, like Pirates of the Caribbean 4.
What? No, that's the thing. It's like a filmmaker who's not making an action movie.
Exactly.
He's like a virtual filmmaker, you know, and then he uses 3D, then I feel like there must be a point to it. Because still now, like, I mean, movies like Hugo and Life of Pi, they really, really became better with 3D.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe, you know, Gatsby also has that thing to it. But it looked fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the 3D. Okay, next we can talk about costumes and things. I think they did a whole cover on it in Vogue, I think. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And I was reading on it about how you know, every character wears different colors and how that signifies something about them. Which I thought was really interesting, you know, like someone like Daisy who wears mostly whites. And, you know, because she's supposed to be like, but she's not pure so much, but she is innocent and she's stupid, you know, like that quote of hers. And Mortal wears red because she's the sexualized woman. And they made Tom wear a lot of deep blues and things like that because he's shown to be old money. Yeah. And those are like more royal colors. So I liked, you know, the thought put into the costumes, which were amazing.
They were amazing and stupidly expensive. If you read it on Vogue, you saw that Miu Miu and Tiffany's, they all these big brands made the costumes, actually. I think it goes a long way to really get into the materialism topic.
Yeah.
It really does.
Did you find this, like, I don't know, I found this, most all the costumes that I really liked, there was something in it which made it sort of ugly.
What?
Did you find that? Like, you know, the Elizabeth, the Jordan costume, the black one she's wearing?
Yeah.
You know, it's so pretty, but then it's got this weird belty thing. And I'm like, why would you ruin clothes like that? I don't know, I was looking at clothes. I was like, why would you ruin clothes like that?
I think it's very 20s, so things from the 20s are really beautiful and other things are like, you think, well, why not, I don't know, do this, and
I couldn't stop that mentality. I was like, but this dress would look so much better without that. Couldn't stop it. But it was all so pretty, all the clothes were so shiny and pretty.
I think the highlight is really DiCaprio's
pink
suit. It's kind of amazing when, like, the suits overpower all these dresses, you know, like these amazing, incredible dresses, but they do.
I liked Gatsby's, like, casual clothing too. Like, he has this knit sweater and stuff like that.
Yeah, with the camel pants or something.
Yeah.
he looked fine in that.
the hats the men wore, they were so unattractive. The hats, so irritating. Okay, next is the music. Matt, you start.
Yeah, well, of course, I have listened to the music before I saw the movie. And I didn't like all the pieces, but overall, I think it was, of course, very Baz Luhrmann-y. I like that he interprets old songs in a very new way, like the Amy Winehouse song.
I think that's actually an even older song.
Yeah, it is.
Amy Winehouse's was a cover.
And like some people complained that Jay-Z just took old tracks and not composed anything new, but I don't know. I liked that. So.
I don't care. And that was a bit with Alicia Keys, right?
Yeah.
New York. When Nick is arriving, I think it's Nick and Daisy, you know, just arriving for the first time. And it's like, New York, right? Just like that. Didn't you know?
No.
But you gotta
realize
it.
I know.
I didn't know.
They're crossing the bridge.
I remember the part you're talking about. I don't remember the song.
They're crossing the bridge, and there's that part just one time of Alicia Keys singing New York. And then it's gone. And Jay-Z starts, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So that was brilliant, I thought, because he did it just once very subtly, and then you keep thinking, did I hear that?
No, the thing is, similarly, even I had heard all the songs, and like many of the songs on their own don't seem that brilliant.
Yeah.
I think Romeo and Juliet, you know, Romeo and Juliet is an amazing soundtrack, but in the movie, they've been used really well.
Mm.
Yeah, I think the strongest parts of the movie, it's the songs, no doubt. I mean, everyone talks about Lana Del Rey's Young and Beautiful and Hope's Blindness by Jack White. But I think the others, the party songs, like that Bang Bang.
Yeah, the Bang Bang. There's a song called Together by this band called The XX, which I love. I love that band. And
I
heard the song and I thought it was okay, whatever, but in the movie, the beat of the song is like the beat of the green light.
Okay.
It became so much more haunting because of that, and I really loved it.
Yeah, I know. I was just like, is this the XX? Because I didn't know they were on the soundtrack.
It was so good. And I forget which, you know, the part when in the beginning when he's in New York and that guy is playing the trumpet, I think, or the saxophone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right? And that was so well done.
Yeah.
I thought that was an amazing thing. And at that point in my hall, the sound thing was going crazy. But the trumpet was really, really nice and loud. So that was making it kind of brilliant, you know?
Yeah. It was really. It felt like it brought the party to you, like to see a party in the 20s with the music from nowadays. It kind of felt like I could be there and I could be living that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you feel very involved just because you could hear that song on a club if you went out after watching?
Exactly.
I think it was so good. And it's like we were saying earlier, I wanted to get up and dance.
No.
Dancing.
I just wanted to be there so bad.
I felt like I was at a party. I was like, you're so cool, so awesome. Completely crazy. The parts were crazy.
The giant champagne, which rained confetti. That was so cool. I love that.
And I liked the scene with the trumpet. Like, they had this big party music, and then at the end, you just hear the trumpet. Like, it's...
Yeah.
You see what he's imagining, and then you see what's really happening. So,
yeah.
So many details.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's a genius in that thing.
He does. I mean, that's what I was really happy because the song in themselves, as I was saying, I wasn't that impressed by it, except like something like Young and Beautiful. And
yeah.
there's a song called by Gautier in it called Heart of a Mess, which I really like, but I don't remember listening to it in the movie.
Me neither.
I don't remember. No.
Yeah, but in the movie, the songs came to life, I felt, so that's good. And I was going to actually watch Romeo and Juliet today, as I said earlier, because I thought that would have been a really good film to compare, because not only is there the Baz Luhrmann thing, there's the super famous literary adaptation thing and the Leonardo DiCaprio thing. Okay, in my opinion, even though I love Jack Dawson the most, Leo has never looked better than as Romeo.
I agree.
I think he's like his Adonis best, you know? He's like...
Have you seen The Departed?
No. Yeah.
I think he looks best in that movie. But that's just me. Mm-hmm. I love how he looks in that film.
I watched Romeo and Juliet, and then, you know, that's his intro and he looks. Yeah. And I'm going to, even when I'm like 50, I will be melting.
He's just young. I think he's too young in Romeo and Juliet.
He's so pretty. I don't know.
And now,
it's always beautiful, but yeah, you can definitely pick some highlights in his beauty evolution.
Yeah. Thank God. Baz made him pretty again. I mean, come on, if you compare him in Gatsby to like Calvin Candy, in which he had yellow. I know.
Don't you think that his face has sort of changed? Like, I have the feeling it's become like wider.
It's the most baffling thing, okay, looking at Leonardo DiCaprio's face. It's like, it's the same, but it's so different.
Yeah.
Did they change him in any way? I was wondering that while watching the movie. I was wondering if he had some special makeup on or something.
Could be. Because
it looked like a Ken doll sometimes.
Maybe like some bronzing.
He is a Ken doll. Yeah, definitely
some bronzing.
I don't know.
So I think, okay, so now that we've diverted from the topic, let's go back. Okay, what rating will you give? Or like you can give like an, if you have any overall comments, you can give that and you can give a rating. Sophia, let's go like ascending order-wise, I suppose.
You guessed it.
Yeah.
Well, since it's a meh, from 0 to 10, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would give it 5.5.
Okay. Anything else you would like to say?
Yeah, that I liked everything except the cinematography, and that ruined it for me. Mm-hmm. Just that.
Matt?
This is tough because I think it will improve on rewatching, but I'm just going to give it an 8.0.
Okay.
Yeah, because that means I liked it. I liked it, but I'm not sure whether it's probably not gonna be one of my favorite movies, but it's still a really good movie, I think, and I'd recommend it to a lot of people. Not everyone, because it's not really everybody's piece of cake, but overall, I liked it. Yeah.
Okay. I'll give it a 9.5.
Oh,
okay. I really, really liked it. I liked how, I mean, it is one of my favorite books, so I liked that it brought almost everything alive in some way or the other, and it was very beautiful, and the sound, the music, the performances. So in the end, like, I was really happy after I'd watched it, which, I mean, I had watched Star Trek the day before, and I was not that happy, so I was happy that I was happy about this, yeah. So, yeah, I'll give it a 9.5. So, this is it for our general discussion. You can give us your feedback on this episode on any of our blogs. I'm Nikhat, and my blog is Being Norma Jean, which can be found at beingnormajean.blogspot.com. And you can find me on Twitter at Nikhat_Z, which is NIKHAT_Z or Z.
I'm Sophia, and you can find me at filmflare.blogspot.com or on Twitter under msophiateixeira.
And you can find my blog at limereviews.blogspot.com. And I'm on Twitter at limet9.
You can also send us feedback on our Facebook page, which can be found under Across the Universe Podcast or facebook.com/AcrossTheUniversePodcast. And you can also email us at AcrossTheUniversePodcast@gmail.com. You can find the episodes on any of our blogs and also on iTunes, where you can find us by searching for Across the Universe. We are the Chicks with Accents, and our episodes are free to download and listen. Do you guys have any plugs?
Yeah, I have one plug, which I already told you about. It's just a little silly thing, but it's a video called Everybody's Free to Wear Sunscreen by another guy called Baz Luhrmann. Yeah. And he did. It's funny. So it's on YouTube, and you should check it out.
Okay, Sophia.
I wanted to plug just one thing too, which is the Lamb movie of the month, which should be up today, and it's American Psycho, which is probably my second favorite movie of all time. So I actually wanted to write something on it on my blog. I don't know if I can still make it, but I will write it, and you should check it out. See what others are saying about it.
I definitely have to see it.
You haven't seen it? Watch it, watch it.
Yeah, I know.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Have you read the book? I haven't read the book.
I have.
No.
It's great.
I've started it many times, but I've never finished it.
Yeah, it's a matter of finding the tone of it. You have to find it funny, otherwise it's boring.
No, it's not that. It's just that, like, I get distracted because I'm a very distracted person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I love the movie. I guess you will find I will write reviews on Gatsby and on Star Trek, hopefully after I've rewatched Star Trek, and obviously there's Doctor Who. And
yes.
Yeah, that's about it. So so that's it from the Chicks with Accents. Join us after 2 weeks, where we will talk about our female role models in movies. Bye.
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 Images of broken light which dance before me like a million eyes. They call me on and on across the universe. Thoughts meander like a restless wind inside a letterbox. They tumble blindly as they make their way across the universe. Jack and Rue, David, oh, nothing's gonna change.